It's Monday, July 22nd, and you're listening to the Geek at Geek News Central, the longest continuous running tech podcast. This is show number 876, sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. Our July GoDaddy special, get 32% off your order at GoDaddy.com by using the promo code GO32OFF1. Again, GO32OFF1 gets you 32% off your new order, or get a .com for just $2.49. Details at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Hey, folks, got a great lineup for you tonight. Great show. Lots to talk about. Lots to share. We got a lot to cover, and we'll get right into it here in just a second. You know what comes next? Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
5.
Button, who's got the button?
4.
There is no cause for alarm.
3.
Everybody hold on to something.
2.
Just press the button.
1.
It's showtime.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Honolulu. Hey everyone, how you doing? Welcome to the show. I tell you, it's been, it seems like forever, but I was just with you on Saturday for the new media show. Had a great guest on that was up in the, he was up in the middle of the night. We were talking to basically the creator and manager of Trek.fm. So talk a little bit more about talking with Chris here a few days ago, a little later in the show. But I want to give a warm welcome to all of the Ohana, all of the family members of this show. Thanks for being here. Thanks for being subscribed. Thanks for telling your friends and neighbors and pals and everyone that you can imagine about the show. Share the show. That's most important. But again, a warm welcome to all of the Ohana. Show number 876. We're on the march to 900 at this point, 24 to go. So really, that's going to kind of bring me in. If I don't have any hiccups whatsoever, we're going to be right in, as we would expect, right in the month of October, probably the third week of October before we hit show number 900, which would be a nice milestone. But, of course, first week of October there, we come up with our actual 9th anniversary of doing this show. So it's been a fun ride so far. Thanks for being here. And of course, it would not be possible without our great writers over at geeknewscentral.com. So, you know, make sure if you get a chance to go over to the website, definitely check out what they're doing and all the great articles that they're putting up. Going to talk about one in specific that came up about 1 billion podcast subscriptions. We'll talk about that here in just a few minutes. But and catch the show live there, of course, live at Geek News Central, live.geeknewscentral.com as well. We're up on YouTube tonight. We're streaming live via YouTube. So, so far, this service is working out pretty good. You know, basically, all I do is save the media file here locally, produce it to put it up for a podcast, but the YouTube stuff is already posted, so it really kind of saves me an upload, which is really kind of, from a bandwidth standpoint, pretty awesome. So the video is always going to be up almost first before even the audio is anymore. So you can get over to youtube.com/geeknews to find the video portion of the show up there just almost immediately. So depending on when you're tuning in, or of course, we'll have it up in the podcast feed, usually within about 12 hours of the show ending. So definitely, we want to make sure you also have options to know where you can get the show. You can watch the show on the Roku, Boxy, Samsung Smart TV, Google TV, all of those devices, Apple TV as well. So definitely, don't forget you can watch GNC there. And you can contact me real easy. It's via Twitter. It's at Geek News. My email address is geeknews@gmail.com. And of course, our hotline is available 24 hours a day at 619-342-7365. Don't forget to subscribe to the show. Again, you can do that right in the second column of the website. There's a newsletter link there as well. The newsletter gets you hooked up so that you get the show notes immediately following the show, and has everything that I'm going to cover in today's podcast. Of course, you can find all the show notes at gncshownotes.com /876 for episode number 876. We're proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. And of course, 130 plus tech shows over there. We've been going through the list of shows over there, about ready to turn on a bunch. So that's very, very cool. Well, I tell you, this show would not be possible without our good sponsor over at GoDaddy.com. We want to thank all of you that are picking up products and services at GoDaddy. And I'm going to tell you, there's a real easy way to get access to all my codes. All you got to do is go over to the website, scroll down. Let's see if I can get the right button there. Scroll down here. You'll see the GoDaddy promo code link. Click on that. That's going to take you right into my GoDaddy page with all my codes. And we've got some specials going on this month. We've got the $2.49.com. We got the 32% off your new order at GoDaddy. And we've got the free two, basically the $4.com. With a free year of private, it's basically one new .com with a free year of private registration for $4. And that's a pretty outstanding offer. Even though you got to get the domain name for $249, for another $151, you're going to get the private registration. So it keeps everything private on what you're doing. Of course, don't forget that 32% off new product orders. You can get that at by using Go32Off1. And of course, Geek249, if you just need the .com for $2.49, you can do that. Now, here's the important thing. There's codes there for every occasion. We used some SSL codes, the 1299 SSL certificate code this week. And that comes in handy because that saves you a bunch of money. And of course, we got cash offs as well. So if you want $5, $10, or $20 off, depending on how much you spend, you can get that on the website. If the percentage off isn't greater, you can do that. And of course, our every day, 10% off on non-domain orders by using the promo code Todd. So host 199, Geek 5, Todd 20, Todd, ComSale, ComSale 3 for .com renewals, Geek Central, Aloha, and Geek SSL 12. Those are all my codes, and you can find them again over at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. That's where they're all at, and we want to thank GoDaddy for being a sponsor here. Definitely get over to GoDaddy.com, pick up a .com, pick up a hosting account, pick up a dedicated server. Use my code so that we get credit for it. Share the codes with your friends, neighbors, people that you know, and make sure they get the savings as well. Tweet the codes, whatever you want to do. It really helps. Every purchase helps the helps us basically keep the lights on here and keep things moving forward. Okay, so what else is going on? Well, I tell you, I gave some CES feedback, basically talked about our whole CES process on the last show. And there's some decisions to be made, and I got a lot of feedback. We'll talk about some of that at the end of the show. So I appreciate the emails that come in. Also, our lower third contest is Sam. Yes, the lower third's not on there. It's because I was not in the house about 30 minutes prior to starting the show tonight. And I got up here and I said, Sam's the winner of the lower third contest. He's going to get a $50 gift certificate, but he can't even show off his album art tonight because I didn't get it loaded. So I'll get it in the editor and do everything I need to do to have it up on the next show. But believe it or not, he just kind of like, poof, the magic dragon. I kind of honestly kind of forgot about it. So, but plus not getting home until about 30 minutes ago didn't help. Had everything prepped, but I had to run down the hill and take care of a little business. For those of you that are playing Ingress, you may know what I mean. Okay. Also, again, the new media show this past weekend with Chris Jones, publisher and editor of Trek.fm. That was really a great interview. And boy, I tell you, that show's garnering a lot of response. And we're having a lot of content creators that are tuning into the new media show and basically getting, a lot of great information. And we're going to have some guests coming up in the coming weeks that I am just really jazzed about because I'm excited to talk to them as well. So Trek.fm, for those of your Trekkies, everything Trekkie. And told him, bring some of those shows over. Let's put them up on Tech Podcast. You know, it's geeky enough. And, you know, he's got his own network, so I understand. But I'm going to tell you, they go like 2-3 hours on some of their programs. So you guys thought my show was long at an hour 10, hour 15. They go a long, long time. But this past weekend really was a bunch of family activities. I'm officially going to kind of, I'll still be doing the show next week, but I'm officially taking like 5 days kind of away from the studio and away from the email and really kind of just unplugging. Kind of, it's a week before the kids go back to school, so I'm going to spend some extra time with them next week. You know, I'll be answering emails, but it's not like I'm going to be in the office 8 hours a day. And this will be my probably my last, what I would call a mini staycation here that I've been able to take, which will be, you know, it's kind of good. It's I'm needing to take a little more time off from time to time. The show will still go on, but the week of the 29th, doing a little mini staycation here. We're going to do something, go camping or something. But I tell you, it's well needed for me as much as anything is with the kids and everything else. I look forward to doing that next week, but be here for regular show times. Don't worry about that. Okay, so let's go ahead here and get into the stack. I got a large stack of stuff to go through tonight. And let me close this window here. And I was actually in town when this story broke today. I was not really kind of paying attention to the news because on show days, I normally don't read the news until about 6 p.m. to start the show prep. And this, you know, I saw people started retweeting this article that Jen put up on 1 billion podcast subscriptions. And, you know, for a long time, we have been battling this perception that podcasting is a dying art. And the data, which we knew internally at Raw Voice, was completely opposite of anything that anyone has said. But Apple today announced that there have been more than 1 billion podcast subscriptions through the iTunes Store. You know, that's a big, big number, 1 billion podcast subscriptions. So if you visit the iTunes Store today and visit the part about podcasts, you'll see that the image that accompanies this blog, it's part of the Apple special promotion to commemorate the 1 billionth podcast subscription. And the data notes, the data from Apple, basically says that those are spread across 250,000 unique podcasts. And I don't think those are all active. I think probably the number of active podcasts is probably under 100,000. But those podcasts are in 100 different languages. More than 8 million episodes have been published in iTunes so far. Those 1 billion podcast subscriptions do not necessarily equate to the same amount of listens. You know, many people, myself included, are subscribed to a lot of shows, and I listen to a lot of podcasts. So some people don't listen to all of them, but, you know, like Jen says, she has a bunch in her subscription that basically she's going to get around to listening to eventually. But I think, based on numbers that we've seen, 1 billion listens would not be, or more than 1 billion listens, many billions of listens, is very, very possible. As a matter of fact, very probable based on the number that we see. And our small, and we're only doing a sampling of about 16,000 shows, and we know that those 16,000 shows reach as many as 47 million people every month, multiple times. And so there's a lot of, you know, ancillary data with that. Some shows are small, some shows are big. But this is, you know, this should make people set up. This should make companies, this should make media companies, this should make advertisers set up and say, what are we missing here in this space? 1 billion podcast subscriptions. And, you know, that's a lot. And you know, if I just did, you know, the pure math, and let's see what it equates to. So if I put enough zeros on here, that's 100, that's 100,000, that's 100 million, and I think I have to go one more, and I'll divide that by 250,000. You know, that's like average of like 4,000 subscribers per show. And obviously, some shows are much higher, some shows are much lower. And I think that, you know, actually that 4,000 number is a pretty good number for an average show that is being successful today. You know, and really, they kind of hover there around 3,000, 4,000 subscribers. And then they finally break out, they go above 10. And many of those that go above 10 or 15 will make it to 100,000. I've been very fortunate with this show for as number of years that we've been going that the numbers have stayed. You know, we average and up and down, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8,000 from our peak level, you know, from show to show, the numbers will vary. And season to season, it's more of a seasonal thing. You see a little dip in the summer and then it comes back as it gets colder out in the mainland. But, you know, very often we've talked about this show being over six digits in the number of subscribers. So I think what we'll see then is maybe a little more attention being paid to what's going on in the podcasting space. But very cool to Apple to have actually announced this today, 1 billion podcast subscriptions. And if you would just think about the dollars that are not being spent in the space and the dollars that are being spent on TV, which obviously has a much bigger audience, but at the same point, I think it's a number that should make media buyers sit up a little bit and say, whoa, and I hope they do. We welcome them to the space and we welcome their ad dollars for sure. All right, a new media show. Oh, actually, I already talked about that, but it was cool having Chris on again. But what I want to get into here is a security article that started out just a couple of days ago. Apple on Sunday admitted that its developer website, which has been offline since last Thursday, had been hacked. Some information may have been stolen, the company acknowledged. In an email to developers, Apple said that the intruders had broken into the site, which is restricted to registered iOS and OS 10 developers, last Thursday. And they posted something on the website. Now, the website's still offline, and they're trying to, basically, they're going through the site and revamping and reworking it to try to make sure that they're not going to have a problem with it, bring it back on. But, yeah, huge hack, and I'm sure a lot of developers are really worried about their code and everything else that's buried within that. On the legal front, more sanctions have been issued for Team Prenda. Of course, last week we noted that Judge Edward Chen has become as suspicious of Team Prenda as Judge Wright. So it didn't take long for Judge Chen to add a pile of sanctions against the key players, this time ordering them to pay another $22,531 in legal fees. So this is pretty good. And his order is pretty short and to the point. So he's basically coming to the same conclusions that Judge Wright did. So what are we now, up to $50,000 or $60,000 if Prenda actually paid their, paid their dues today? If not, that number is going to increase substantially each and every single day. In an interesting report, Google is reportedly moving 25% of the traffic on North American internet. Basically, what's going on is they have started a massive deployment of edge caching servers, basically in almost every internet provider around the world. So basically to kind of to eliminate some of this traffic that they're creating. And so they're putting all these devices basically to try to help cache some of the data flow in order to limit the amount of basically calling home to mama that we're making whenever we do a search. When we're doing certain services on Google. So this was a report from a cloud analytic and network management company called DeepField. So that's pretty cool. And it shouldn't be surprising as much as we probably many of us spend on Google every day with Gmail and the varieties of YouTube and everything else. All right, ladies, you're going to like this one here because, you know, there's this great saying, behind every great man, there's a great woman, right? Well, and behind every, well, let's put it this way. And in order to create a human being, there's a little bit of thing going on with chromosomes and X chromosomes and Y chromosomes. You know, Y chromosomes makes men, and or so researchers thought. Basically, Y chromosome was what they thought contained genes that are responsible for sex determination, male development, and male fertility. But now a team has designed that the X, which is the female chromosome, could also play a significant role in maleness. It contains a score of genes that are active only in tissue destined to become a certain substance. The finding shakes up our ideas about how chromosomes influence gender and also suggests that at least some part of the X chromosome are playing unexpected dynamic role in evolution. So ladies, the X chromosome is contributing a lot more than what they suspected, at least for the guys. So it's kind of an interesting development. I'll have more information, obviously, in the link in the show notes. You can go into all the detail here, but left a few key verbs, I guess, for a better word, or nouns, actually, out of that topic. But very interesting development on the XY chromosome and what it means to the evolution. If you are a pilot or if you're a high school senior that's got a good grade point average and you're looking to go into college, the U.S. Air Force is reporting a pilot shortage. And times have changed, I guess. It's no longer cool to be a fighter pilot, but the Pentagon expects to be short 200-some fighter pilots this year and is projecting a shortfall will increase to 700 pilots by 2021. Let me tell you a little story. And for the, any of you that are considering going into the military, especially maybe going to college with the ROTC or going to one of the academies or the various ways to become an officer, when I was living in Lemoore, California, of course, Lemoore is largely known to be a F-18 major base. They have the training, what they call the training rag there. And I got lucky enough, and I was a crewman on a utility aircraft, and we were basically flying people all over. And it was one of my, I guess for better words, one of my suckiest tours because the job wasn't really didn't have a lot of job satisfaction in those 3 years. But you don't have much choice. You go where you're told. And long story short, I got friends with a lot of the F-18 COs, and the one thing that led to another is I was able to get my ejection seat qual, and I was able to, the two-seater F-18s that are the trainers in Lemoore would often go basically on training flights minus a second person. So I would be able to write myself in on those hops, and when my schedule allowed it at my regular job, I could come down, strap on a G suit, and basically go flying in the F-18. And I logged about 300 hours in just, I didn't fly, I wasn't a piloting, but I went along for the ride, a little over 300 hours in the F-18, in the dual-seater F-18. And it's a fantastic aircraft. It was in the early days, so it wasn't some of the more advanced ones they have, but I got a little stick time from time to time, and I did everything from low level to supersonic, and you named it, I did it, as a basically kind of a passenger role, because I wasn't a pilot, I was an enlisted air crewman, but just because I got in good with the F-18, well, basically we're hauling stuff for them all the time, so, you know, they kind of hooked me up, I made some friends, it was fantastic, and you get 300 hours in a Hornet is, that's a lot of hops. And so I was down there a lot, put my name on the board, but long story, and it was over a 3-year period. So, but let me just tell you, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to have the experience of strapping on an incredible machine, whether it be an F-16 or an F-35 now, that is basically the Air Force is starting to accumulate more of. I could not say anything more greater of a thrill and cause your head to swell than becoming a fighter pilot. And, you know, you just talk to an officer recruiter and they'll help you out. And one thing is kind of cool thing to remember is they're going to pay for flight training. You get to fly jets. And then after 7 or 10 years, if you decide that you've had enough, you transition out of that and you go fly commercial airlines, which ultimately will pay more over a lifetime. But there's such a demand for aviation pilots now because the mandatory retirement age is 65. They don't, you know, that's like Jack that listen, you know, Jack, my good friend, he was a senior pilot at American Airlines. And when he's 65, he's forced to retire. The guy's still in his prime and he couldn't go any further. That's, you know, the rules the FAA has. So, you know, doing 10 years as a jet jockey is not a bad deal. Wrapping up hours for free, burning fuel for free, and getting training for free, then walking over and getting a dual engine qual, then boom, you're, you know, next thing you know, you're flying flying passengers all over the world. So I'm obviously pitching here, but I can't, for someone that is looking for a career that has an education, that has a degree, or is it, you know, basically going to school and wants these type of ambitions, man, I'm telling you, what an education, what a, you know, what a gift to be able to be a jet jockey. And if you end up in a transport aircraft, who cares? Because that's even bigger of a golden ticket on the way to, on the way to a commercial pilot's license. Well, basically you get a license, you have a, you're trained pilot, but move into, you know, like a 777 or, you know, any type of a standard commercial aircraft. All right, so let's go ahead and move on here. New Zealand today has announced that the government is about to legalize spying on New Zealand citizens. After having admitted that they illegally spied on New Zealand citizens 88 times since 2003, the government is covering their six, and they're about to grant what's called the GCSB, the right to intercept the communication of New Zealanders, in its role as a national cybersecurity agency. Rather than examining the role the GCSB should play, then look at the laws. They're basically moving forward, trying to get this through. So things are changing down in New Zealand for sure. Article over on Extreme Tech. Samsung is debuting a monster 1.6 terabyte solid state drive with a new high-speed PCIe NVMe protocol. And, of course, you know, with time, these SSDs are getting a... Oh, come on. Skip. I don't need to see the ad. Thank you very much for that. Extreme Tech was giving me some crazy advertisement that popped up there. But 1.6 terabyte solid state drive, and it can be yours. What is the pricing on this? Do they say? It's not going to be inexpensive. What did they do? They don't talk about price, but they think it's going to be around 60 cents a gig, which seems a little high, but I guess it could be. And that's, you know, that's upwards of a big bill to buy a 1.6 terabyte drive. But if you're looking for speed, this is definitely going to be it. It doesn't talk about availability. It's going to be XS175 line and a storage up to 1.6 terabytes. In a disclosure that I don't know that they were supposed to make at Microsoft's 2013 Worldwide Partner Conference, CEO Steve Ballmer gave a very interesting tidbit about the scale of Microsoft server operations. He says, we have something over a million servers in our data center infrastructure. He even went on to say that Google is bigger and that Amazon is a little bit smaller. So this is a pretty rare admission here. For those folks to give up direct figures. Google and Amazon have never given up their, even a rough figure. People had guessed around 900,000 a few years ago. But to say that Amazon has over, that Google has over a million servers kind of makes sense. But you think about that, a million servers, that's a lot of boxes. It really, really is. Hey, another article we're on Extreme Tech, 11,000, this is an article about an 11,000 electrode pre-programmable chip takes brain-computer interface to a new level. Let's talk about this new chip that's being designed, this chip was developed by Swiss Group, has some 11,000 electrodes packed into a CMOS chip with an area of less than 2.2 millimeters at 3,150 electrodes per square millimeter. That's higher density than anything that's ever been seen to date. High density chips was up to 65,000 stimulation sites have been manufactured before by other groups, but they generally have had little or no record/measure ability. And this has got a key feature here is that it's got 126 signal conditioned amplified channels that can dynamically be switched within a few milliseconds to any of the electrode sites in the grid, permitting multi-resolution access to neurons in a field in different spatial states. Now, basically what they've designed here is a voltage microscope for neurons. And this is some pretty incredible. This goes way deep, I'm telling you. And talking about training, basically seeing brain pulses and all kinds of, and it could be long, folks. They're going to be tapped into us, I'm telling you. Very, very cool stuff. Hey, good article over on CNET about five of the best streaming video apps for Android. And it talks about a variety of different services that are out there. I'll have that link up in the show notes for you to check out. And I go through those. Some of those are that you know. Arrow, though, is in the news today claiming that that they want to gain a 25% market penetration in 5 years. And their CEO, and I'm going to destroy this guy's last name, it's Chet Kanjoya, basically said that they're going to be launching in a variety of markets. Utah's next. Salt Lake City will be getting service mid-August, making Utah capital the fourth named destination. Boston and New York City are currently the only two available markets. But according to a timeline outlined in January, Ariel hopes to get it to a total of 22 locations by September, punctuated by an expansion to Chicago slated for September 13th. She says every week or 2 weeks, there will be two or three more cities, he said. Though he was very transparent about possibly missing the 22 market by one or two. He says it's almost like a cellular company. He said there's a lot of capital we have to employ. So this is huge. And he's basically moving forward. And he doesn't have a cordial relationship, obviously, with the broadcasters, because the broadcasters are trying to stomp him into the ground. And so we'll see where this leads here, but he is continuing to move forward. And if you're in Salt Lake City or Chicago, Arrow's coming to an area near you. And I should have had this group together. There's another article by CNET talking about the best streaming video apps for iOS. So one for Android and one for iOS. I'll stack those up there in the show notes correctly. Hey, on July 19th, NASA basically took a picture of Earth, and this is pretty cool. Let me see if I can get a bigger... This was actually... I should have went to the NASA site. I probably could have got the full resolution image. And this is the first time Cassini has been able to take a picture of the Earth. Let's see if I can... When this quits loading... Will this actually blow up? No. Do they link to the actual... do they actually... Yeah, they have a few here. Let's see if this will... Will this go bigger? No. But here's the deal. We're just a dot. You know, it shows Earth, shows the moon. Link will be up in the show notes, obviously. There's a little amplified version. But really, in the field of view, we're just almost nothing, you know. But anyway, I'll have the link in the show notes. You guys can check it out. I don't know why they didn't link to NASA directly. That really drives me nuts when sites don't do that. I should have actually went over there myself and done that. But again, we're just basically a dot in the background there. You know, look like a star is what we look like, but obviously we're not. So very, very cool. Cool image. If you're waving, you know, yeah, Cassini saw you. Now, Google Glass, you just don't know where they're going to take Google Glass next. I had Google Glass on Sunday during an event, and it was a public event. I went into a men's restroom where there was a line, and I put my Google Glass up on top of my head because I didn't want people getting weirded out. But apparently... A gentleman in New York went into a strip club wearing Google Glass. He got past the bouncer, but the manager basically said, "Hey, you got to take these things off, and if you don't, we're going to bounce you." So, he had to put them away. But yes, probably not a good idea to take Google Glass into a strip club. I'm sure that would probably, first of all, you're going to have the wrath of the ladies working there. And at the same time, you're going to have some big bouncer throw you out on your, but he went through the door with them on when he went through the, you know, through the bouncer to begin with. So stupidity on this guy's part. He risked his, took life into his own hands. All right. You guys know in San Francisco, KTVU, basically had a little goof last week when they made some pretty racist comments following the San Francisco plane crash. And they had basically, the lady was reading from a teleprompter, and wow, I mean, it was the words she, well, some of the stuff she said would just kind of, you know, you would know that, you know, that they were too, these were not right. You know, when I remember in the early days when we would go to air shows, we would wear name tags that would have funny names on them. If nothing else, just change name tags a couple times during the day. And it was just something fun we did. And we had a little bag of name tags. But this was taken to a whole new level with her reading over the teleprompter. You know, one of the she said, we have released the names of the pilots. The one was Captain Something Long, Bing Ding Owl, and then Flight Too Low. You know, so it was all these things were she was reading, and it was really bad. I mean, really bad. So anyway, what the television station has done is they've used DMCA to have the clips removed from the internet. And they're going after folks, and they're very embarrassed. Obviously, they apologize to the airline. And how they got on a teleprompter is no one will fully know. I'm sure some people have been fired over the situation. But, you know, this wasn't it was insensitive, and people were found it was very offensive. And, you know, if unfortunately, you know, we had some deaths in that crash. So, you know, you don't want to, you have to be sensitive to that. So they make this error, though. So what they're doing now is, again, using DMCA to take these videos down. The question is, are those legitimate takedowns? Are they abusing the DMCA, even though what happened? Doesn't change things, but I don't know if this is the proper use of a DMCA takedown. You know, and again, these terms, and I don't want to get people upset here. They were racially insensitive. You know, and the way they were, way it was pronounced and everything. So again, I'm not condoning this, but at the same time, I just tell you, do you think they were right in allowing the allowing them to take those down via DMCA. I don't know. Maybe they have the right to that content. No rebroadcast, I guess. Some news out of Netflix. Netflix originals deliver modest subscriber bump. Netflix reported that their Arrested Development impact on its second quarters was okay. The show delivered a small but noticeable bump is what they said to Netflix membership totals. So, but anyway, they're very happy with their performance. They jumped from, they jumped to 29.81 million from 23.94 million. That's a pretty significant increase over last year. Its overseas audience grew to 7.75 million from 3.62 million, and sales rose 20% to 1.07 billion from 889 million. And Netflix reported an almost five-fold rise in net income of $29.5 million. So that's good that they're making some money and not a net loss, which is always bad for any company. Hey, the UK is ordering to block on two file sharing sites. British ISPs have been told to block access to two websites accused of aiding piracy on a massive scale. The court ordered block to EZTV, and YIFY. Now, here's the thing. EZTV, if I remember correctly, there's some apps out for EZTV that you can stream videos directly from that. Chinese, Japanese, Korean video programming. I didn't think it was a torrent site, but it says that EZTV was a torrent, specifically a torrent site. So, but those two sites are the latest in a growing list of websites to which UK ISPs have been asked to block access to. The new Gmail layout spawns targeted ads that look like emails. So be very careful. When you're on Gmail, there's primary, social, and promotions. The promotions link is where they bring you advertising. So be aware of that when you're cycling through the different menu systems. Saw something cool today over on Engadget. And basically, there's a group that's got a Kickstarter, some sort of a fund. They're on a Kickstarter or some similar site. And they're basically putting together what's called Canary, a one-stop shop for securing your home. Insert Coin says they look to an exciting new tech project that requires funding before it can hit production. If you'd like to pitch a project, please send us a tip, but Insert Coin as the subject line. So let me look and see if I can find the actual site that is doing this. Is Engadget doing this? It might be. It might be Engadget that's actually doing this. So I'm a little confused. Let me go to their pre-ordering. Oh, look at this. Insert Coin. So how do you actually order this thing there, Engadget? I'm cycling through their site. So I'm linking down here. I'm looking at the bottom of their stuff. And I say, okay, pre-ordering. That takes you to an Engadget site. And then I look over here at this hyperlink, and it takes you to Next Generation Mac Pro. So do I have to go to the Canary website itself? Oh, it's an Indigo. You know, sometimes it really drives me crazy with the folks at Engadget. It's really hard to find the actual, the actual link. But they raised $100,000 of their goal so far. And the early adopters are already sold out. And so they've got the 240, the one, I guess 199 version is still available if you're an early adopter. But what this is going to be, it's going to be a device that contains an HD video camera and multiple sensors that track everything from motion, temperature, and air quality to vibration, sound, and activity to help keep your family and your home safe. So this is kind of cool. Controlled entirely from iPhone or Android device, Canary alerts you when it senses anything out of the ordinary, from sudden temperature changes that can indicate a fire to the sound and movement that could mean an intrusion. Instant receive and view acts on alerts wherever you are. Over time, the Canary learns your home rhythms to send you smart alerts. Canary is the smartest way to stay secure. So anyway, this is going to be kind of like a home, little new modern home security device, which is kind of cool. So I was kind of interested in the project, and I'll be looking at it and see if I'm actually going to be ponying up my money. But thanks for Engadget for helping me get to the getting information on this. But, boy, they sure didn't help me find the site, that's for sure. So anyway, I'll have the link up in the show notes so you guys can find it yourself as well. All right, Samsung 55-inch curved OLED TV set to land in the United States this week. Hey, it's only $15,000. That's all it's going to set you back. That's not too much, right? $15,000 for a television? Slightly curved, 55, and we saw it at CES. It's an incredible TV, but $15,000. $15,000 per TV. That's one TV, $15,000. Just to get it slightly curved. Anyone with that much money has no common sense buying a TV like that. I'm serious. All right. Buffalo claims fastest USB 3.0 drive, article by Andrew here at Geek News Central. Basically, the folks at Buffalo Technology have announced a subscriptionly fast external drive called the DriveStation DDR by adding a 1 gig DDR3 cache to a standard SATA drive. They've created a USB 3 hard drive with SSD transfer rates. Write speeds are doubled from 170 megs per second to over 400 megs per second, which is pretty quick in anyone's book. And the benefits of the cache aren't so clear with the large data transfers, but the greatest use of external hard drive is storing photos, of course, and movies and so forth. Prices on par with standard external drives with a MSRP of £129. Of course, Andrew is in the UK, so he was writing UK dollars, or actually writing the amount that it costs over there. So probably a little more here in the US. So pretty cool. So anyway, you have the link up in the show notes for you. You know, Buffalo doesn't get a big shake here in the United States. You see their product from time to time in stores, but not a lot. All right, SIM card security flaw exposes 750 million cell phones to hacking. You can basically break into some of these SIM cards with a very simple text message, SMS message you send to the phone. And it, even though the SIM cards only use 56-bit DS encryption, it's very easy to break. And it's reported that over 750 million SIM cards are vulnerable to this attack. That's 1 in 8 SIM cards. An improperly encrypted SMS message along with the use of a custom Java program can open the SIM to the malware. A hacker can do anything from change your voicemail to access your personal information on the SIM card. So, you know, some phones, most information is stored on the phone and not the SIM. But also in some phones, SIM data can also include bank information, password to websites and programs and more. So we'll see where this leads. And they're going to be talking about this at the Black Hat on July 31st. So I'm sure we'll see a lot more about this particular hack as time goes on and when the Black Hat conference is announced. Hey, you know, the second screen, they feel right now the second screen is actually your TV. Not because many people now are using their apps, is using their tablets or their computers as the primary screen, and the second screen is actually the television. And, you know, I keep talking to people and I'm like, yeah, I'm at the, you know, I'm sitting in front of my television with my laptop. And I'm like, what are you doing? I'm surfing the web. I'm doing different stuff. I said, so are you watching? Oh, it's kind of there in the background. And it's kind of basically the folks at GigaOM talk about this as well. I have a link up in the show notes. Hey, fellas, have you ever went to, or ladies went to a drinking establishment and had a few too many and needed to call a cab? Or get a ride home. I think many of us maybe have been in that situation from time to time. But a bar is now giving folks a little, when they park their car, and basically they have to valet their car at this particular club, they're given a little RFID parking ticket. And so what happens is when they go into the restroom, you know, you're drinking. So obviously you maybe have to make multiple trips to the bathroom. And when you relieve yourself, there's a sensor that detects how much alcohol, is in your pee. And it basically lets the valet know if you're drunk. So when you get ready to get your cars from the valet, you give them your RFID parking tab and they basically check it. And if you are above the legal limit, they basically say, hey, dude, you can't have your car. We've got a drive you home program or we can get you a cab. I think that's a very, very smart thing. In Texas, there would be a lot of vehicles sitting in parking lots and cabs would be doing a lot of business. I swear there, when I was in Texas, there was a lot of people in bars and not a lot of people getting cabs. I don't know if that's where you live, but it definitely was that way, in Texas a lot when I was there. Hey, over on T3.com, Google is apparently facing pressure to slow down rollout of driverless car technology. And this is a subtitle, basically, according to the Wall Street Journal, people close to Google reported a debate within the company over whether the Google car should be released with the full capabilities or be introduced slowly and gradually. On the side of the debate, one side of the debate is for full release of the driverless car, whereas the other side thinks it will have to be introduced slowly and with minimal shock to consumers. They're also suggesting that the software with cars would limit travel to a max of 25 miles per hour and force a foam front end to the vehicle to limit damage if a collision was to occur. Kind of a, huh? So we'll see what happens. Of course, you know, Toyota's unveiled their self-driving car based on the Lexus LS that will sport both sensors and automated control systems for increased safety. The sooner we get driverless cars, driverless cars, the better. In my personal opinion, the sooner I can say, take me here and I can do something else, much better. Now, at the same time, black boxes are becoming mandatory by 2014. So that's just right around the corner here. So be aware if you, and most vehicles have had them for a while. So if you are doing something you shouldn't be and you get in an accident and they pull your black box out of your vehicle, that could be used to prosecute you, can be used to in a court case to be, you know, see if you are breaking or whatever was happening to build the case against you. Or this can be used in your favor if you're the party that was impacted and someone else you suspected of doing, you know, aggressive driving or something like that. You can have the black box seized from the vehicle and use that in a court proceeding. So just be aware that that stuff's out there, okay? Utah ISP has broke the silence over government servers installed on its network. This is kind of an interesting op-ed here in Gadget. It basically says, when the government comes knocking on your door, you kind of have to cooperate with them or face the consequences. That's the situation Pete Ashdown, CEO of Utah ISP X Mission, was faced with in 2010 after receiving a warrant under the FISA. The warrant coming in at just 3 or 4 pages was perfectly clear. Install a rack mount server on your network to track every last bit going in and out from one of your customers, and don't say anything about this. Now, Ashdown's lawyer says that the request was indeed legit, and the box stayed there for a little over a half year. So the question is, why talk about it now? Because he basically says, like the rest of us, he wants a bit of transparency, even if there's a risk that Gmail will come back and haunt him. So kind of an interesting write-up here on basically what happens with ISPs. They basically are told, do this or we're going to, probably lock your butt up, I would imagine. Movie studios have won an ISP. Oh, we already talked about that. Dun-dun-dun. .com Mega gets unofficial video streaming portal, mega-search.me, is a searchable repository of files hosted on Kim.com's Mega, has launched a new sister site called mega-stream.me, brings back some of the Mega video glory by allowing users to stream videos and audio files from Mega. Users can stream videos directly from the mega.search.me website or paste and link to an audio or video file hosted on Mega. So interesting move here. And probably another step closer to another seizure. Not. All right, MPAA demands source code of ISOHUNT's failing piracy filter. I really don't need to say anything more. The MPAA is really not happy, and they want millions of dollars in compensation for the damages the studio suffered through ISOHUNT. And back in 2006, they were ordered to put a filter in, and apparently the filter doesn't work so well because they keep finding their movies after even providing them with the list. So anyway, we'll see what happens with ISOHUNT. The Pirate Bay is crowdfunding a massive 10th anniversary festival. 3 weeks from now, the Pirate Bay supporters will gather in a festival area located a few kilometers north of Stockholm. At least if the organizers can get them to pay for a ticket. The Pirate team needs the public to chip in. They hope to raise 450,000 Swedish kroner, 68,000 US, through a crowdfunding campaign. The local pirate party is in charge of the event and promises visitors live music, food, alcohol, and plenty of opportunities to share. They've raised about a third of the money so far to hopefully have the party. So if you're in Stockholm, you can go and hang out with the pirate party folks. HBO has asked Google to take down infringing VLC media player by mistake. We know that copyright holders are trying to take down as much pirated content as they can, but their targeting of open source software is something new, an attempt to remove pirated copies of Game of Thrones from the internet. HBO sent a DMCA takedown to Google, listing a copy of the popular media player VLC as copyright infringement. This may have been an honest mistake, but again, another one that, why? Why did that particular software title get flagged and asked mistakenly removed? Nexus 7 is coming. The new Nexus 7. Are you excited? Are you going to buy it? Very, very shortly, the new Nexus 7 will be available for purchase. NASA is trying to get a spacesuit repair kit on a Russian launch. We know that NASA is basically burning the midnight oil because there's a Russian supply ship that's set to blast off Saturday from Kazakhstan. And they want repair parts on board in order to basically fix the Italian's faulty spacesuit. Dark Manor Hunt appears to be zeroing in on a leading contender. And there's a great article in Wired. I'm not going to go into the details of this. I spent about 15 minutes going through this article. And I fully don't understand the full ramifications of Dark Matter, but boy, scientists are really on the hunt and they feel they're getting closer. So I have a link up to that in the show notes for you to check out. If you ever have to file a Freedom of Information request, there is just an incredible amount of work that has to be done to figure out who, where, and how, and basically who has the material. But there's a new software application called the Freedom of Information software. Basically, it's seeking to automate the FOIA process. And it's basically you can find the website FOIAmachine.org. And basically the creators of it call it the TurboTax for Government Records. And the FOIA machine was started by veteran investigative journalist named DeJorde Podjeski. For years, he says, I've been thinking about how to improve the Freedom of Information Act process. And he started working on this in 2012, and it's they've been raising money to improve it, but be nice to be able to find those records a lot easier. All right, you didn't go to Comic-Con. I didn't either, but Comic-Con was last week, and here are some of the biggest bombshells that were basically announced. Superman and Batman will team up in a 2015 movie. So that was one of the biggest basically announces. Folks got a look at Walking Dead season number 4. So they got some previews on that. The Avengers sequel will be named Age of Ultron. There's going to be a new person that's going to be starring in X-Men. Peter Dinklage will star in X-Men Days of Future Past as Bolivar Trask. And of course, we know that Peter Dinklage has played on a Game of Thrones. He is the little person that plays on that show. Is that the correct, politically correct word term? If it's not, I apologize. There was a S.H.I.E.L.D. pilot that was revealed. Khal Drogo rises from the dead. Oh, this is cool. The Game of Thrones panel opened with a death supercut that spanned the entire HBO show. So this is kind of cool. So that was talked about. Guardians of the Galaxy looks good, and Karen Gilligan shaved her head. So that's an interesting move. Walking Dead stars will be the first avatar on Legend of Korra, which I guess is a Nickelodeon movie. Loki made us say his name. Oh, that's funny. And finally, Little Nemo, Return to Slumberland. They're remaking the classic comic strip, Little Nemo. So those are the things out of Comic-Con 2013. All right, last couple of articles for tonight. A couple things from TechDirt. Texas School District drops embattled RFID student IDs, opts for ton of cameras instead. I guess the RFID tags didn't work so good. And I don't know if the whole lawsuit was worth it, but they've abandoned it because the teacher spent a lot of time trying to find kids, and the RFID tags really didn't work real well. An article over on Extreme Tech, after years in the shadows, Intel commits to Atom as a top flight processor. So they're going to be spending a lot more time on Atom and beefing it up and basically making it a much more powerful mobile offering, which is pretty cool. So we'll see where this leads. Chinese researchers have used the Kinect, yes, Xbox Kinect, to translate sign language to text, which is kind of cool. So they've, and it's all in Mandarin, so that basically they're able to, it's very, very cool what they've done. The video on it is pretty amazing. I'd like to see that, something like that, developed here in the United States. SanDisk is using, basically, connecting a USB flash drive wirelessly transfers files between your devices. So this is pretty cool. So it's just a wireless USB stick, essentially. You connect to it, and you can transfer media. You don't have to plug the stupid thing in. You just turn it on. So pretty smart application. And finally, there's a website, use at your own risk, called NuclearSecrecy.com. Nuke Map 3D is a 3D nuclear map effects simulator. It allows you to visualize the effects of a nuclear weapon upon geographic areas you are familiar with. And it uses Google Earth. And I haven't tried it yet, but apparently you put in your location and it shows whether or not you're going to die, depending upon the power of the weapon being used in a specific area. So a little nuke simulator. I don't know how much accuracy there is to it, but it is. It's probably something people are going to have a little fun with. And again, use at your own risk. All right, comments that have come in. Let me see what I've got here. Again, congratulations to Sam. And last show was on the 19th. Why didn't that load? Dun, dun, dun. We had some more comments come in. Where are they? I had feedback come in from CES, and I don't see them in the GNC comments. Did I not copy them over? Let me do a date sort again, because I got a lot of feedback. What did I do? Huh. All right, well, save them for the next show. So that means we get you guys out of here a little early today. Hey, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being part of the Ohana. And thanks for being subscribed. Tell your friends, neighbors, people that you know about the show. If you've got things I want to cover, you can always email me, geeknews@gmail.com. We'll cover them in the show, like I was supposed to do here at the end of the podcast. But something has gone on with this folder. It doesn't have the emails that have come in. I must have copied them some way wrong. I'll look for them. But anyway, thanks for being here. Again, congratulations to Sam. And what do you guys think of the Ohanasaurus back there with the Mars rover? You guys can barely see it. Of course, Ohanasaurus is wearing Google Glass. And actually, there's a little pop-up window saying, hey, I can't connect to Time Machine right now. So I'll get that fixed. All right, everyone. Hey, thanks for being here. Those of you on YouTube watching, thanks as well. And we're going to pull the plug, get this thing in the can, get it out. Geeknews@gmail.com. Thank you for support of my sponsor, GoDaddy. Geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy for all the promo codes. Until next time, everyone, take care. We'll see you, and aloha.